And good evening, everyone. Welcome to a Thursday night. It is time for the Investors Bank High School Football Show here on 105.7 The Hawk. Delighted to be along with you. Kevin Williams, Matt Harmon, Ed Sarluka, your normal trio, taking you till 8:30 tonight as we get set for, I guess, what, week 11 of the season, round two of the NJSIAA football playoffs, the sectional semifinals with a bunch of shore teams still very much alive and playing for state championships. Hopefully that first full weekend in December. Good lineup for you tonight. Really looking forward to this one in just a moment. Truly a really special guest. We're delighted who's joining us, the executive director of the New Jersey State Interscholastic Athletic Association, Steve Timko. We'll chat with him in just a moment or two. Later on, we focus in on the Seraphs of Modern Day Prep, a bit of a Cinderella season for this team that has gone farther than anyone could have imagined. We'll be joined by their head coach, Steve Sharapa, and their outstanding two-way senior player, Sam Miles, a big part of last week's a historic win over Morristown Beard with a late stand to preserve that victory. We're delighted, as always, we'll have our segment with Scott Stump of SureSportsNetwork.com. An old friend is paying us a visit tonight to help us out with some of the out-of-area teams we're not all that familiar with. Joe Zadalas, who people will certainly remember for his long career at the Asbury Park Press, now at the Times of Trenton, will kind of help fill us in. Of course, our weekly spot with Monmouth University head coach Kevin Callahan, and our high school football picks all coming up this evening. Gentlemen, I say good evening to you here as we are a week away from Thanksgiving, and the focus is not on the Thanksgiving Day games, at least not this week. But let's just very briefly add in your mind last weekend, the games, the opening round of the playoffs, those games that really kind of caught you.
Well, the Jackson Memorial victory over Rancocas Valley, a come-from-behind victory. Rancocas Valley runs a kickoff back and also a punt back. Special teams outstanding. But they came back, won it with a field goal, something that they haven't done too often this year. 24-21, nice victory for Jackson Memorial. Unfortunately, they go against probably the toughest team down there in South Jersey in Cherokee. A big 51-0 victory over Washington Township, a great program also. So Cherokee comes in at 8-1. The other big one for me was Bricktown. Bricktown gets their quarterback back, Carmen Scalfani, missing 2 weeks with the shoulder injury. Came back to lead the Dragons back to a second-half victory and get them into the semifinals.
Matt, how about you?
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, I'm sure we'll get into it and maybe the task at hand this week for them. I was really impressed with what Red Bank Catholic did. You know, it's always a question when they go in, and I know they were favored in their game against Immaculata, but they really put in a pretty impressive performance, knocking off that team 42-14. And when you think about what they have to do this week against St. Joe's and Montvale, I guess if there was a good way to go in to certainly their toughest game of the year, this was it. You know, they looked pretty sharp last week, didn't struggle in that game at all, really won it handily. And, Ed, you know, if you're going to go and match up with really the top team, not only in the state, maybe in the nation, at least you had a good one to get yourself on a little bit of a roll.
Yeah, the other good thing about that game, Matt, is that they hit them quick. Immaculata hit RBC with a quick touchdown. First two plays of the game, they had a good kick return, and then I believe the next play they scored. So they were down 7-0 and then came back and put up 42 points, 42-14. But you are correct. You know, the same story. RBC has been here so many times in the last few years where they are by far the best team in our area, but go up to North Jersey and play that powerhouse parochial team and come away losers.
I like any time a shore team goes on the road and wins a game, and you actually have it right in front of you. How about Lakewood? Very impressive win for the Piners, who at 6-3 now get themselves into the sectional semifinals. 20-12 win over Delran. That is a solid, solid win.
And I got to be honest, to me it was the most stunning result of the weekend, only because the week before they lost to a previously winless Point Borough team. It was hard to see that happening, but as you said, I agree. I think that's a great win for their program. you know, we'll save modern day prep for a little bit later because we're going to feature them. But obviously, as a seventh seed to win a playoff game for a school that has gone through a plenty of 0-1 right. win seasons, I think is monumental.
I can't believe we've gone 5 minutes and Ed hasn't said something about Brick Memorial.
I was going to say, I thought Jackson's win was very impressive against a good ranked Cocos Valley team. Can
we actually say that Brick Memorial's loss was very impressive?
I was going to say, so I thought Jackson's performance, and because I will admit that I didn't pick him.
No.
But, of course, maybe the game that the shot heard around the world for the Shore this weekend was the Manalapan Brick Memorial game. And let's be honest, if there was a point spread on it, Manalapan would have been a 3-touchdown favorite.
I'd say that much.
You know, and Brick Memorial led that game just about every
44 minutes.
You know,
actually, I shouldn't say that. 47 minutes and 59 seconds they led.
And lost it with 1 second left.
Yep.
Some controversial clocks issues there. But that would have been, and I said, and to me, that would have been the biggest first-round upset that I can remember of a Shore Conference team. Because I know there are eights who beat ones, but that was an eight that just got in against the one that, you know, some people are ready to proclaim as the best team in the Shore. I thought that was impressive.
Yeah, it was. They played an impressive game. You know, they had won five. Now, this is a Memorial team that had played good. They had
Absolutely.
Won five of their last six games to get themselves into the playoff. Needed some help on the final week. Two of the teams they had beaten had to win. They did. Got themselves into the eighth seed. And, you know, a few years back, they won it from the eighth seed.
Yes, they did.
You know, they went on the road all three games and won their bracket. But, yeah, tough loss for the Stangs. They finished their season 6-4. They had no bye. They played their first nine games. So they have put the equipment away.
I was going to say, equipment turned away. We're going to go right into, you know, and we're really very happy that not only this gentleman would join us on the air tonight, but he would come down. He only drives about 1,000 miles a week. Steve Timko is the executive director of the New Jersey State Interscholastic Athletic Association. That is the NJSIAA, and that is the governing body of high school sports in the state of New Jersey. And, of course, when we refer to the playoffs, while the nickname is the state playoffs, it's the NJSIAA playoffs. And Steve is good enough. We've been exchanging emails with officials from the organization saying we really would love to get them on to, obviously, at playoff time to discuss the playoffs, which are paramount on the minds of many people, but kind of the state of the Athletic Association based out of Robbinsville. And I want to first thank you with your schedule to take the trip down to speak with us tonight. We really appreciate it.
That's my pleasure, Kevin. Thank you.
We're in the football playoffs, so let's at least start there.
Sure.
The setup this year in the state playoffs, we have we went last year. You added a group five for the biggest schools. That has opened the door for another 20 teams. Is that the number, right? 20 teams to make the playoffs. 8-team brackets and situations last weekend, which I think all three of us honestly were very much against, in which you had teams with losing records in the state playoffs. So I'm going to ask you first about that, your thoughts on that. And, of course, the common denominator with a lot of people believe is these things are being done for financial reasons. So I'm going to ask you to address that, and then we'll go from there.
Sure. Well, the last reason that this happened was for financial reasons. Like anything that happens in at NJSIA, people often think that it's the five directors that sit around the room. Let's see if we can come up with a plan, whether it's making more money. Let's see how we can handle this situation versus another. This actual eight-team playoff, eight teams qualifying for the playoffs and based on PowerPoints, came as a result of our meeting of our league and conference presidents and secretaries. They proposed this change at the same time that we went to the 16-team brackets to fill those. And interestingly enough, as you had mentioned earlier, you had an 8-1 that could have been a very big upset. If you look at soccer, you have a number 15 team, West Orange, 15 seed, playing for the state championship on Saturday. So you can't honestly say that the an eighth seed or a seventh seed won't be effective or productive as a result of being at a state tournament. But the initiative for the whole process came from a member school, not from the NJSIA. And the same thing for the vote that's going to take place on Monday, December the 2nd. Everybody said, again, it's financial. Look at the windfall that the NJSIA is going to come up with as a result of playing these five championship games. On the other hand, this came from the Big North Conference. It was sent to our advisory committee and passed. It went to our executive committee and passed. And then it went to four sectional meetings around the state where every athletic director or administrator had a chance to give input to that. And now goes to the vote of the membership, which requires a two-thirds vote to pass it. But again, it's not an NJSIA initiative. It's coming from up from the membership, which is the way I think it should happen.
Well, let's continue along those lines and talk about that proposal. Mm-hmm. What exactly is the proposal?
The proposal is to change the current language in our Constitution and bylaws that say that in football you can only play to a sectional championship.
For public schools.
For public schools.
Correct.
The non-public are already playing for a state championship.
Right.
Okay. Most people are probably not aware of that, but that's what's happening. Now, with the vote, it's simply to change the language that from a sectional championship to play to a group championship. And that's the vote that will take place on the 2nd. And that will require a vote of passing by two-thirds of the people in attendance.
Now, correctly, that is different from the last time you had a vote on something like that, because that was two-thirds of the members.
Correct.
This is two-thirds of who's ever there on December 2nd, correct?
Yeah, and you're bringing up a good point. And what happened with that vote a couple years ago is that there was one vote that required a two-thirds that went down by six votes, but about 10 or 20 people left before that vote had taken place.
Yeah.
And you figure maybe six of those people would have voted for it and would have carried the motion. So that's why, and that proposal was brought forth by Neil Rosa from Morristown to change it to the people present, which is what we're doing now.
Steve, would it be set up if the proposal was passed, similar to what other sports do that play already down to a group champion? And again, this is putting maybe the cart before the horse a little bit, because the vote actually has to take place. But would it be the two North Jersey schools playing in a section semifinal, South versus Central, or would there be some sort of seeding where it could be the two North schools that played in the final?
It's exactly the way you said it originally. It'd be North 1 against North 2, Central against South, and those winners going for the championship.
Steve, the number that's got to probably make you happy, 434 high schools in New Jersey, over 270,000 participants. It's a tremendous number.
That's probably something that I'm probably most proud of. We're the eighth largest student participation in the country. And then when you're talking about Texas, you're talking about California, Michigan, Illinois, Ohio, Pennsylvania, then New Jersey. 270,000. We're number one in offering the most championship sports. There are a lot of other states that may offer 32 championships, but they don't go to the T of C champions and the number of sports that we currently offer to increase the number of championships. So I feel really good about the number of sports that we are offering our student-athletes.
Steve Timko is the executive director of the NJSIAA, joins us tonight on the Investors Bank High School Football Show. Is it fair to compare the NJSIAA to high school sports in New Jersey with the NCAA? Is there a similarity in the makeup? And forgetting money and all those things, just, you know, because I would think a lot of the confusion is, and I thought you made a good point, I assume there's some people that think the five of you sit around and you change the rules. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's the member schools who make up your organization.
Yeah, the member schools make up the rules, and the people in our office interpret the rules.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And we interpret that based on what's in our Constitution and bylaws, and we try to be very consistent with the application. And, of course, we're the organization that says no. And when you say no to somebody, then of course, somebody's going to be upset.
Steve, you know, I was thinking about this on my way down, because everything in the fall is kind of wrapping up. Football has a couple more weeks to go. What is the rationale, whether it's the membership and then it goes obviously to your organization, of the current system? You know, where football plays to a sectional championship, soccer plays to a group championship, field hockey has a TOC, basketball has a TOC, other sports play down to one champion entirely, and others kind of break it up differently.
Well, a lot of what you're suggesting or talking about, Matt, is in our Constitution for the way it's developed. Some of the other sports come out of our sports committees. As an example, we have 32 sport committees that meet at the end of each sports season. They'll talk about the tournament itself. They'll talk about any recommendations for changes. Then they'll make those recommendations. And any recommendations that comes out of a sports committee then has to go to the NJSIA Program Review Committee. They'll look at the recommendations, see if it's feasible, and then they'll go to the Finance Committee to see what the cost will be to the association by running this tournament, and then it goes to the Executive Committee for a vote. Some of them even require a two readings of the Executive Committee, primarily because the first reading that takes place, maybe nobody is aware of it. But then we flood all the information on our website, it ends up in the newspaper, and people have a second chance to take a real close look at it. If they don't like the proposal, then they can go to the members that represent the, on our executive committee to vote in the way that the membership feels. The best example I can give you is when we started the team group championships, I was the one who brought the 20 best teams to one location. If you remember, they used to play all over the state. Yep. At a different high school. Ones would be one place, two, three, and four. I brought them all to one location, and the first location was at the Sovereign Bank
Trenton
Arena.
Right.
Okay. As a result of that, I thought, boy, what a highlight that would be for high school sports and wrestling. I tried to stop all wrestling to take from taking place on that day to have the people come and witness the 20 best teams wrestle. Well, it passed the first vote of the executive committee, but then all the member schools that have wrestling saying, hey, that's my last chance to get some kind of competition in prior to the districts. And I'm not going to the if I have a chance to wrestle, I want to wrestle. So they got out and went to the members of the executive committee for the second vote the next month. It was defeated unanimously. So the membership has a chance to respond to the different types of legislation that comes forward to us.
Your association, Steve, and the state the association they have with Toms River and the Pine Belt Center with state basketball, and as you said, now looks like a permanent home for the state wrestling team title. How did that begin, and how has that worked out for you?
It's worked out absolutely fantastic. Joe Arminio and his staff have been fantastic. Toms River School Board and administration have been fantastic. When we were at Sovereign Bank, we may have had 3,000 people there, but it looked half empty.
Right.
You brought it to Toms River. It was electricity for the entire two matches in the morning, or four matches in the morning, four matches in the afternoon. And it gave a whole better atmosphere to high school wrestling. And I think that changed the whole dynamic. People look forward to coming. They enjoy it. Nobody leaves. The wrestlers are a very passionate group of fans, probably the most passionate. Mm. And when you look at taking it to the next level, from the regions down to Atlantic City, we've been averaging about 10,000 people per session for four sessions. Now, we have 336 wrestlers. That's, if you do any math at all just with the parents, that's, 672 parents. All the other 9,500 people are all passionate fans that have been coming for the last 40 years.
I want to jump back one more thing on the football players, and then we'll kind of leave that alone. Obviously, you don't have a vote. You don't vote on what it's going to be. But I want to ask your personal opinion because, you know, I looked at it, and I've been one of those that says, you know, hey, we need the overall group champions. But there is some downside to it. And the thing that would concern me is, A, you'd have to start the season 1 week earlier, which in many years would be Labor Day weekend. which would be before schools open in some cases, some school districts. So you'd have football games being played. You'd have a lot of teams traveling around the state on Labor Day weekend for a traffic standpoint, especially down at the shore, is going to be tough. You're also going to extend the season 1 week later. Granted, it's only going to be for a hand with 20 teams, I think, right, or something like that.
10 teams.
Mm-hmm. It's only going to be for 10 teams. However, I look at now and how rough it is for basketball and wrestling. They have such a short window. They start practice the Monday after Thanksgiving. Basketball, I think, opening night is December 19th. If you have kids still playing football, by the time they're done, then they have to have a certain amount of days off. That's going to make that, for those schools, even a more difficult gap. Is it a concern of you for the student-athlete that it's just a little too much, maybe?
Well, the student-athlete, of course, is the number one concern of NJSI. What you mentioned is what Jack Du Bois, assistant director, had looked into, and as a result of the league and conference meetings, they brought a committee together of two members of each conference to develop what they thought would be a plan for what the playoffs would look like. They've looked at that very closely. They debated several issues, and they came up with the plan. Okay. When we went around the state, Kevin, what we had heard was exactly what you were saying. But the biggest thing seemed to be that almost most of the schools are playing as having a scrimmage on Labor Day weekend anyway.
Right.
And so that sort of shoots a little bit of a hole in that part of it. Where we were getting the most questions from the people who are opposed to this plan is, A, that they're bringing the bands back in earlier. You have the trainers that are coming back in a little bit earlier. And we're even telling that the other teams really don't have to come back for that date. They can still use the starting date, which is in place or has been in place for the last 15 years. So we think that it will work, and that the membership seems like they'll support the plan that was developed by the committee.
Do you expect it to pass?
That's another question
that I won't
answer, for the primary reason. If I say, yeah, I think this should pass, then they're going to say, well, TIMCO wants this. That's why, and NJSI wants it. It's a moneymaker, and that's why he wants the thing to pass.
Let
it pass for the merits of the vote.
Steve, think in your years of working with the state and being involved with athletics here, whether with the organization or before you even got started there, has there been an issue like the football playoff system that the state has been so divided on?
This has been the one vote that's come back three times in the period that I've served as executive director. Mike Van Zyl had a presentation that started about 6 years ago. Billy Bruno had one that was up about 2 or 3 years ago. Now this particular vote. It's a very emotional issue. And, you know, I would think anybody that's voting should make sure that they touch base with their whole administration so they know what the feeling is of their administration in casting the vote that they will that will take place on the 2nd.
Football championships, neutral sites, your feelings about them?
I think neutral sites are great. One of the things that we prided ourselves on are the venues that our student-athletes are playing on. If you remember, before, we were playing everybody but South Jersey on a neutral site on a college campus.
Right.
But the five South Jersey schools were playing at the site of the higher seed. And then people are saying, well, how fair is that?
Not fair.
And so Jack was able, we were able to secure Rowan, the College of New Jersey, Kane, and MetLife Stadium, and Rutgers. And we really think those are outstanding venues. People do a great job of hosting the events for us, and we're very proud to be there.
Obviously, we'd be remiss if we didn't discuss the fact that you've had a certain New Jersey assemblyman who is, I think it's fair to say, has kind of been at odds with the organization in recent years, Assemblyman John Berzicelli. And his gripe in the beginning was the prices you were charging for state events, state championship events, which eventually you had to decrease considerably, which obviously impacted your financial picture. I think it's fair to say a couple times that you probably felt was kind of critical, but you feel you've kind of overcome much of that, and despite the fact that the ticket costs are down, you've been able to, with other things you've probably done internally, you can still put on the number of events you do.
That's correct, Kevin. The law is there, and I respect the laws being the law, and NJSI is going to follow the law. I've been involved in sports administration for 38 years. I stand at the same spot at the Boardwalk Hall in Atlantic City when the ticket prices were one way, and now they're $10 and $2, okay? Nobody has ever complained to me, and I've never had a reporter complain to me about the ticket prices of NJSI. That being said, the law is the law, and we had to make adjustments within the association. Some of those adjustments I think we really needed to make. And I'm glad that we've made them. I think John should take credit for that, you know. We've continued to make cuts, and a major cut that we're making this year is we're not printing programs. People can download the programs from their computers, and to me that'll be a savings of money for the association. We have a marketing person now that's helping us deal with the different venues. So, yes, we're making changes. We understand the law is the law. You haven't heard me complaining. We thought it would have a bigger impact. What I'm most proud of is the law being what it is, we have made no cuts that impact the student athletes in New Jersey.
Steve, do you feel like sometimes, and I ask this in a hopefully a respectful way to you, do you feel sometimes that your organization gets the brunt of so many complaints where you have a black mark that maybe isn't deserved?
No, it is not deserved, to answer the question, primarily because I don't think most people know who NJSIA really is. People will go to a tournament. They'll have seen an official's call. They won't be happy with an official's call. And they'll say, that darn NJSIA, why don't they pick somebody good to do the event?
Well, why don't you pick people good? I'm only kidding.
No, but on top of that, people don't understand what we do as far as the health and safety of the kids. We have the concussion rules that are in place now, heat acclimatization that's in place right now. We deal with hydration weight management for wrestlers right now. We do the coaches' education programs, which includes sports first aid. And let me tell you a good story about this. I keep one of my major focuses at our league and conference meetings is to have an emergency action plan. So if somebody were to be in need, that there's a plan in place, who's going to go get it, a defibrillator, who's going to call the ambulance. Do they know where the defibrillator is, first of all? So that a plan has to take place. In North Jersey, about a month ago, games were being played between Hawthorne High School and Glen Rock High School, a soccer game. A student-athlete goes down, and the athletic director and the trainer, following their emergency action plan, came out and saved that young man's life with the defibrillator, got up to the hospital, and about, I believe, in a couple weeks later, that student-athlete was back in competition. So, and that's because of different things that I think we're requiring our coaches and our officials to be involved with. Our concussion law is probably one of the toughest in the country. If an official sees an athlete that's blurry during a game, he can send that student-athlete out of the game, and he cannot return unless there's a doctor right there trained in concussions that'll sign a form that we have right there saying that that student-athlete can come back. Around the rest of the country, if a trainer, they take the kid out of the game, the trainer evaluates the kid and deems that the student-athlete could come back. In other states, that can happen. That cannot happen in New Jersey.
Well, let me say, we only got a couple of seconds here, right? But the wrestling tournament, the state basketball tournament, and Kevin, and you know, I mean, we work a lot of these events, so, and I'm not saying it for that reason, but the wrestling tournament in Atlantic City is by far one of the most outstanding run tournaments that I have ever seen, that I've ever been associated with. For you to put on, what is it, 3 days now?
Mm-hmm.
3 days of, like you said, 10,000 people through that place without a hitch. I never see anything go wrong down there. Tremendous.
And that's a credit to Howie O'Neill, to Bob Frederick, and the people that are the organizers that run the tournament. They do a great job of the seating process.
Right.
We've made some adjustments in letting the on Friday night, it used to be one and done. Now the wrestler has a chance
wrestle
to come
backs,
back
right.
With a wrestle back. And actually, we had, I think, three or four place winners that, as a result of that, came back on Sunday.
Right.
Steve, football aside in this vote coming up, what is the future of the organization? What changes do you maybe foresee in the next year, 5 years, 10 years, the long-term plan?
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up, Matt, because part of what I've done in the this will on January 1st will start my ninth year. We've been having a strategic plan. This will be our third strategic plan. The previous two were three-year plans. This current plan that was approved in October and chaired by Bruce Paragello, the principal of Metuchen High School, is a five-year plan. It deals with legislation. It deals with marketing. It deals with the health and safety of our student-athletes. It deals with continuing to maintain and upgrade our education programs. So we do have a five-year plan in place that we plan on following very closely.
We really didn't even scratch the surface. I really wanted to get into you on the whole transfer issue, which obviously has been so controversial and has been prevalent more on the shore this year than ever before, the choice schools and all that. So I guess we'll somehow have to get you to come back one other time. But we do appreciate you coming down tonight. I know it's the end of a long day for you. You spent a lot of time on the road to address some of the issues. The December 2nd vote will have a great impact on the future of New Jersey high school football, certainly in terms of the state players. So we'll see how it goes. And we wish you good health and good speed, and thanks again.
Thank you very much for having me.
Steve Timko, the executive director of the New Jersey State Interscholastic Athletic Association. We're going Sarah football after this break. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on 105.7 The Hawk. Hi, welcome back to the Water Street Grill as we talk high school football here, getting ready for the second round of the state playoffs. Now, I'm going to throw some numbers at you. This is my introduction to our next segment. 2-8, 0-10, 2-8, 4-6, 0-10, 0-10, 1-9, 3-7, 1-9, 1-9. What is that? Those are the season-by-season records of modern-day football from 2003 to 2012. But it's now 2013. And the Seraphs are 6-4, coming off a playoff win, getting ready to take on St. Mary on Saturday. And it has been a terrific season for their fourth-year head coach, Steve Sciarrapa, and their senior running back and linebacker, Sam Miles, who Natalie attired are good enough to join us on this Thursday night. Gentlemen, good evening. Good to see you both.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Coach, I'm going to start with you. Those numbers are not necessarily pretty, but, boy, they're actually very pretty this year. It's your fourth year, by the way. You're also probably one of the few, what a dual role. I don't know if there's anyone else in New Jersey. You're the principal of the school in addition to the head football coach. But why are we 6-4 this year? What has happened?
What you're seeing this year is really the result of a lot of hard work, a lot of dedication by the families, and obviously by the student athletes that we have. When we went in there 4 years ago, I was really fortunate and very blessed to work with a great staff all around, whether it be from the teachers all the way through the coaching staff. Gary Carmody, who I'm sure you know well, was very, very blessed to have him on our staff. And when Gary and I got together, we said and we told our guys, we're going to run this like a college program, and it's a five-year plan. And we told that to the parents as well. We're going to start from ground zero. We're going to work our way up, and we're going to see improvements every day, every week, and every year. And to all the credit in the world to our kids, they bought in when, as you could see, Kevin, you went through those numbers. It was a bleak time. You know, it was very easy to say, I'm going to go someplace else or I'm just not going to play. So we had great, great participation and great buy-in. And every year we've been able to accomplish one more step along the way, which is where we got to today.
Coach, by your own words, okay, and I'm going to quote you, but you give the athlete an affordable alternative to a parochial school that maybe some other schools can't do. Explain that.
Okay. Well, we have a very, very strong belief in our parish, in St. Mary Parish, in Middletown, that no student will be turned away for finances.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have a great, great draw. You know, our net is cast wide and far. You know,
right.
Not just Middletown, but really a third of our students come from outside the greater Middletown area. You know, from as far south as Jackson and as far north as Jersey City. And that's the, you know, that's one of the special things about being a Catholic school is you can really embrace a much bigger area than just your local district. And our belief system is that if you want a Catholic education, and that's a different thing. You know, you come to modern day, it's a different bag of bananas now. I mean, this is not your traditional school.
Academically.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you're willing to do what we're going to put out in front of you and take those challenges, we're not going to turn you away if your family can't afford it or, you know, you can't afford the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So we're really, really fortunate to be in a situation where we have a really healthy, very strong parish, and we have great leadership in our parish from Father Jeff Kegley all the way through the associates and all the way through the rest of the administration.
How many kids in the school?
Our school is small. We're at today we were 295.
Okay.
Wow.
295. That is small. Very small.
Yes. Yeah, we're, I think, we're either the smallest or the second smallest outside of Henry Hudson. I think we're the smallest football.
All right, well, let's make the switch here to the guy sitting to your left, and that is...
easily, by the way, the best dressed guest we've ever had,
student-wise. No question about it. Sam Miles, who is a four-year member of your program, correct me if I'm wrong, senior running back and linebacker, correct?
Three-year.
Three-year, okay. So where are you from?
I'm from Atlanta Collins.
Okay. So where would you have gone? What would have been your public school?
Henry Hudson.
Okay.
No football.
No football. Well, Keyport, but...
Okay.
Yeah,
so
right.
Why are you at Modern Day Prep? Before we...
Well, I heard a lot about it from kids who graduated from... I went to Mother Teresa Regional School in Atlanta Collins. And my mom was also a teacher there. And my brother went in there freshman year and enjoyed it a lot. He talked so much about it, loved it. And that had a big influence on me. You know, I'm a lot like my brother, look up to him. And I ended up going there.
All right, so your sophomore and junior years, you were both 1-9.
Yes.
Pretty tough, right? I mean, pretty bleak.
Yeah.
Did you think there was a corner about to turn, though?
Yeah, I did. It was after last season, my second year in the program, we were 1-9 again, with our single win coming in, our homecoming win, actually, over Metuchen. And we've had, I believe, three four-year seniors, and we constantly had kids wanting to join the football team. The numbers were increasing year by year, and we also had a lot of kids who wanted to transfer in and play. So as you watch that, you kind of saw the improvement over the summer also, that it was going to turn around.
Coach, back me up on this. I'm assuming Sam runs the defense for you on the field.
He does,
his middle linebacking spot. So I'm going to take you back to the last couple of minutes last week against Morristown Beard. Tell us the mindset and what went on. Obviously, it was a goal line stand, right?
A big stand
at the end that got you the W. Tell us a little bit about those last few minutes.
Mentality. In the beginning of the year, we were letting up a lot of points, and that was part of our problem. And towards the end of the year, we started rolling, and our defense was actually playing a lot better. And Morristown Beard was averaging 34 points a game, and we were hearing a lot about that, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So we went into that game with mentality that we were not going to let them score, and that came down to the last minute.
What's a seraph?
Six-winged angel.
I just want to make sure you know. Okay. You're a Mondon guy, right?
I am.
So
you asked me what a griffin is?
I was just going to say, you had to answer that question, right, for years, right? What's a griffin?
Yeah. And just for the record, I was asked if I knew what a seraph was on my job interview.
Where you were? Did you know?
I absolutely did, yeah. I had Jim Rochford sitting across from me. I knew I had to be prepared.
So, he touched on the fact you have gotten some transfers in that have obviously helped your program.
Yeah.
Do I use the word recruit? Can I use the word recruit?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. I have to recruit every single kid that walks in my door, whether they're a football player, whether they're in the performing arts, or whether they're just an all-around student. Every single kid at Modern Day has come to Modern Day for a reason. And the reason is different for each kid, but the commonality is that we are a Catholic school. We wear our Catholic identity very proudly, and we're a different kind of school. You come to our school, you're going to be dialed in and involved. We have 71% of our students involved in fall sports alone. 100% are involved in something, whether it be performing arts, athletics, or a club of some kind. Every one of our students passes another school to get to us. So there's something special about us that fits for these guys. And we are a very eclectic very unique group of individuals here. And, you know, one of the things I really love about the school is, you know, I treat these guys like young men and young women, and they always rise to the occasion. You know, everybody has that traditional mindset at Catholic schools, and we're whacking them with rulers and all that kind of crazy nonsense, but that's not at all how it is. These guys come in, they want to embrace the challenges that we put in front of them, and they do a great job.
Sam, this St. Mary team out of Rutherford, right?
Yes.
Pretty good football team, 8-2 on the year. They pitched 5 shutouts on the year. How do we beat them? Score more points? Don't tell me that.
Move the ball down the field. We got to move the ball. We got to definitely play good defense.
Right.
Keep it in our hands. And we have a very effective run game. We have a great quarterback, Christian Palmer Jr. And we got great utility guys. We have Tyson White at wide receiver, Jelani Mitchell at wide receiver, and a great tailback, Derek Lopez.
You know, Christian Palmer Jr. Sounds like he should be playing for Penn State someday, you know? Love that name.
I don't know where you come up with something.
I like the name, Christian Palmer Jr.
That's now, one of the things about St. Mary is we played them last year in the playoffs.
Right.
And, you know, there was a lot made, as there is today, of should the non-500 teams have a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were told we would have the opportunity to play in the playoffs, we couldn't be happier. Now, we're sitting there at 1-8, and everybody says, you don't belong in the playoffs. And I said, listen, you're going to open a door for me, we're going to go. Because how else are these guys going to learn what the next level teams look like? And we went up to St. Mary's, and they beat us like they should have. But it was, you know, when you talked about before what that turning point was, that was a huge turning point because those guys went out there, played toe-to-toe, got beat, but played toe-to-toe with one of the best teams in our section and said, you know what, now I know what a state championship caliber type team looks like.
Steve Sharapa, the head football coach at Modern Day, and Sam Miles is outstanding, too, a senior player. So we know where you're at now, and obviously you hope to be playing 2 weeks from this weekend. But more importantly to me is, what's the future? What's next year? How many got? What's your losses this year?
That's a great question, Kevin. We graduate right now 9 seniors. But the one of the main things that we started a couple of years ago, this is our second season of football at St. Mary Elementary School, which is our sister school. That is a grades 6-8 program. It's not AYF. It's not Pop Warner. It's a middle school program, much like what the Ocean County teams are doing down here. We actually play 2 of the Ocean County teams.
I was going to say, give me a couple of schools you play.
Okay, we play locally, just to keep it within the shore. We play Barnegat. We play Pinelands.
Okay.
We're looking to expand the Ocean County teams for next year's schedule as well, but we also play some of the northern teams, Newark Academy and Del Barton as well. What we did there by creating our own feeder program, that was a huge influx for us this year.
Sure.
We have 15 freshmen in our program right now. All but one played football last year. Next year, we're automatically bringing over 10 eighth graders from the St. Mary's team, as well as whatever students we get from outside of the St. Mary's sending pool. So it's really, really exciting. So, we're talking about numbers. You know, we're not talking Manalapan-like numbers, 130
right.
kids in the program from 9 to 12.
Right.
You know, we're talking, right now we have 1 in 5 male students participating in football, which is awesome. You know, when you talk about every year bringing that closer and closer to 1 in 4 now, where we're having an active roster of 50, 55 guys, that really gives us a great chance to compete with this, with the Group 1 powerhouses that we do every year in our schedule in, you know, Keyport, you know, Shore Regional, Asbury, you know, those guys in Point Beach and Keysburg, you know, take your year. At any given moment, those guys can come up and do some real damage.
So clearly the bar has been raised with the program.
Absolutely.
And my guess is you have no expectations to go back to the 1-9 days.
No. No, absolutely not. You know, and one of the things we really committed to is 5 years ago we committed to change our curriculum from a high school to a prep. And we told the parents that's an all-encompassing change. Not only are we going to give you a college-level curriculum, you'll be taking college courses as a junior and a senior. That's the big academic component. But that prep change will spill over into athletics and performing arts as well.
Well, Sam, Coach brought up college,
yeah.
Senior. You know eventually you're going to play your last high school football game. What about next year?
I'm still undecided. I'm choosing between football and basketball, actually.
Okay.
It's 50-50.
Yeah.
Any idea where you might go to school? Or?
I was looking at Salisbury down in Maryland.
Okay.
In nice. Moravian.
Okay.
Nice. Those two.
So I guess part of it will depend on what sport you decide you want to play. Or
yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
it's been a good experience, though. You've been, like you think about it, you've been on the bottom, and you've sort of gotten closer to the top during your tenure.
Oh, yeah, it's great. I couldn't be happier to be a part of it. It starts from the top with Mr. Sharapa, Coach Hoadley, and I couldn't be happier about it.
Well, you understand that this probably has been one of the stories of the year, both of you, you know, as far as what you have done and where you've come from. It's been, you know, whether you win this week or whether you lose, you know, against St. Mary's.
Thank you.
Been one of the true stories of the year.
Thank you. And that really means a lot. You know, we've been getting some phone calls and texts and emails wishing us the best. And it's great to hear from the coaches, guys like Gary Carmody reaching out. Mm-hmm. And a really great one today was Craig Sicardo. Gave a call, and that meant the world to both myself and the team as well.
Yeah,
well,
I can state emphatically that if you, when we did our first show in September, if you said, what's the least likely Shore Conference school to be sitting here on November 21st talking about a state sectional semifinal, I would have probably said Modern Day Prep, just based on, you know, where it was.
Past history.
Past history, but that's past history. This is now the future. It's a great story. Of course, next year, you know, the bar gets raised.
Absolutely. And that's what we're all about. You know, like I said to you before, is we're a school of 300 kids that are choosing to be there. And we will tell them when they come in, the bar is going to be raised, and it's going to be raised on a regular basis. And to steal something, you know, I know you're a Penn State guy, but to steal a Michigan thing, you know, those who stay will be champions. And that's what we told our guys from day one. There's going to be some lean times here. We're a building process. Those who stay, you will be champions.
Well, that's it, Steve. That'll be the last time you're on the show now. You bring up a Michigan thing Penn State guy.
Hey,
that's it.
We beat him in four overtimes.
There you go.
We're the same colors, though.
Steve Sharapa, thank you so much for coming tonight. Congratulations on everything you've done. Absolute best of luck on Saturday, and hopefully you have a good bus ride home.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for your time. I truly appreciate the opportunity to be
Sam,
here.
Sam, it was good meeting you. Another goal line stand this Saturday would be nice at the end of the game, but regardless, I know you had 14 tackles last week. Monster game. Good luck this Saturday and whatever you decide to do.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
It was a pleasure. Sam Miles, Steve Sharapa from Modern Day Prep. Quick timeout. We come back. It's Stumpy's time. We talk with Scott Stump right after this. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on 105.7 The Hawk. Scott Stump is our guy from ShoreSportsNetwork.com. And as always, we enjoy talking with him, getting set for a big football weekend. Scott, after that the dry spell last year of no Shore Conference teams winning state sectionals, things looking a hell of a lot more, rosier going into week number two, and we could have a host of them playing that first weekend in December, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you look at it, and, you know, the Central Jersey brackets, I mean, there's a shot that the Shore could have at least one finalist in all five of them. And then, you know, you look at South Jersey 4, I'd certainly give Toms River South a real good shot to be in that championship game. South Jersey 3 between Manasquan and Barnegat, I also think. You know, Jackson's an underdog in South Jersey 5, but... yeah, I mean, I could be a very busy man on the weekend in December.
Scott, for Manalapan, you know, they had that come from behind last second, somewhat controversial win over Brick Memorial. And sometimes as the number one seed, you know, you have that little bit of a blip on the radar screen, and then you run off a couple of wins and win a championship. Is that the situation you can foresee for Manalapan, or will they continue to maybe struggle?
Yeah, that's the $64 million question. Did they have their letdown game and kind of get it out of their system against, you know, a tough Brick Memorial team that's always upset-minded in the playoffs? Or, you know, is that kind of an indication that they're going to be in trouble against Sayreville? I tend to lean towards the fact that they got the scare out of their system. They're going to be – obviously, Sayreville has ended their season in the playoffs two times in the last couple of years, including the state championship game 2 years ago. So – they're going to be sky high for that game, and I think, you know, they're really going to challenge their offensive line to play a better game, I think, because Brick Memorial did a nice job up front defensively in slowing down their run game. And, you know, Sayreville's had their number. Sayreville is 16-0 against the Shore Conference since Brick Memorial beat them in the state final in 2008. So somebody's going to have to find a way to try and solve this team, because they have owned the teams from this area.
Steve, the team that I like,
Scott,
I'm looking at your partner here, Steve Meyer. He's here. He's looking at us over there. critiquing us. The team I like in Group 4, Central Jersey Group 4, and again, they've been under the radar all year, Colts, Nick. You know, this is a real good football team, and Anthony Gargiulo is my player of the year, you know, going into these last 2 weeks. What do you think about Colts, Nick?
No, I saw them in person last week against Neptune. I mean, they almost ran for 500 yards. Their offensive line was dominant. And you're right, Gargiulo might be the best all-around talent given
Correct.
How good he is as a linebacker and defensive end. And also, you know, as now the school's all-time leading rusher, went over the 3,000-yard mark for his career in the Neptune win, 275 yards on the ground. I mean, I think the thing with Kolcnik is, they've beaten the teams they were supposed to beat. They came up short against Manalapan in sort of their real big high-profile game. But I picked them to win this bracket before the playoffs, and I'm not backing off from that. I think they're really tough up front, and they have a nice change of pace back in Abdul Kudus, who ran for 150 yards last week, to kind of take the pressure off Christian Sanchez, their quarterback, let him make some throws. Nick Volpe is a tremendous player defensively, and I think they're good enough up front and on defense to finish the job at a program that's never even made a state final, let alone win a championship. But in a wide open bracket, I think they have the ability to get it done.
All right, give me 45 seconds on Red Bank Catholic's chances of making St. Joseph Montvale sweat in the fourth quarter.
You want 45 whole seconds on that? I mean, the closest
you don't need game that they much time.
Is the Paramus Catholic game, and you know that's a loaded team with Jabril Peppers, and they beat them by two touchdowns. So I was at the game last year where they played, and the biggest difference to me was the speed disparity. St. Joe's just looked like they were playing at a whole other speed. All of their skill guys can run. Their linemen are big, but they're also very fast. And I guess the thing that surprised me is I think going into last year's game, you thought RBC's big offensive line was going to get a push and they'd run the ball. But they really didn't, and they got bottled up completely. So, you know, the two things Coach Portello, Jim Portello, wanted to work on coming back, knowing they would probably see them again this year, were, you know, get bigger and stronger up front, and as you guys have seen, they've dominated up front this year, and do better in the passing game because you're not just going to be able to line up and run right down their throat like the teams around here. So we're going to find out if those areas have improved at all in the year since they got blown out last season.
Scott, tell me a little bit about the chances you think for Barnegat, who has to go on the road and take on a pretty good Northern Burlington team.
Right, yeah, I mean, Barnegat certainly has a good chance to win this game. This would be their first trip to the state finals. You know, a lot of it comes down to the usual stuff for them. They're going to have to be really good up front with that mammoth offensive line. I think a good sign was, you know, Tyler McGinnis ran for over 220 yards last week, and they've kind of been looking for that back to replace A.J. Opry after he had the season-ending knee injury. So I think that was a really encouraging sign for them. And obviously they have a great dual threat in Sinjin Erskine and a home run threat in Manny Bone. And it really comes down to, can they stop Kenyatta Green? I mean, he's going for his third straight 1,000-yard rushing season for Northern Burlington. He had 228 and 5 TDs last week. So it's pretty much going to come down to, can you contain him and then run the ball effectively to make him stand on the sidelines for long stretches?
Scott, the other team in that bracket is Manasquan. They're the top seed, but they play probably maybe the best team in that bracket, Delcy.
Yeah, that's sort of been a talk among the coaches is that Delcy's, as much as Manasquan was the number one seed, Delcy still might be the team to beat. It always helps to play a warrior field where we know the Manasquan program has had so many great wins and been so tough to beat in the playoffs over the years. And with Delcy, again, it's just going to be a slugfest in the trenches. I mean, Delcy is a punching, running team out of that wing tee. They have two backs who are like 1,000-yard backs, and they average 300 yards rushing a game. So they almost barely throw the ball. So it's pretty much going to be, can Manasquan's front seven stand up to their offensive line, tackle well, and slow that run game enough? And can Manasquan maybe get an early lead, put them in a hole, and force them to come out of their comfort zone and throw the ball a little bit? But it almost, you get the feeling like if they can beat Delcy, the next team they see in the championship won't even be as difficult a challenge as this is going to be in the semifinals.
I'm talking with Scott Stump of the Shore Sports Network, and of course you can read Scott daily on shoresportsnetwork.com. And I'm going to just throw these out real quick. Of these games, give me the one that it's the toughest for the Shore team to win and the one you feel the strongest about they will win. Jackson Cherokee, Shawnee Toms River South, Brick Burlington Township, Ocean Hopewell Valley.
I think the toughest challenge is going to be Jackson at Cherokee. Cherokee's a top five team in South Jersey. They played a really difficult schedule down there. They're a balanced, explosive offensive team and a good defense. So I think that's going to be the toughest out of those games. I feel pretty good even about Toms River South against Shawnee. It's going to be an interesting battle of South's explosive offense against Shawnee's really solid defense. So I like that matchup a lot. And I also, Hopewell Valley had never even made the state playoffs until this year and just won their first playoff game last week with a wipeout of Ewing. So I'm really interested to see how Ocean does against them in the sense of, is Mercer County getting better? Are these teams the Shore really has to start worrying about, or will it kind of be history repeating itself with Ocean handling them? So that game is pretty intriguing to me.
Well, we're going to find out a little bit on that stuff in a little bit later on from Joe Zadalis. As you said to me today, you're my former boss is on with you tonight because he's going to help us with some of those teams. Scott Weir, for those who follow you on Twitter, where are you this weekend?
Tomorrow night I will be at the Manalapan-Sayreville Showdown, and then on Saturday I will be at Manasquan for the Rumble against Elsie.
Sounds good. That is Scott Stump. You can catch his thoughts on all the Shore games on ShoreSportsNetwork.com. His weekend predictions, always good to talk with you. We'll catch up with you next week.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Scott. We take a quick break. Coach Kevin Callahan joins us for a few on the Investors Bank High School Football Show at 105.7 The Hawk. And hopefully we'll be chatting with Monmouth Coach Kevin Callahan. We'll give him a couple of minutes as we get set for the a home stretch here on the Investors Bank High School Football Show, broadcasting live from Baker's Water Street Grill. Tomorrow night we'll be at Brick Township High School, Keller Memorial Field. The Green Dragons, looking to advance to a state sectional final, will host Burlington Township in Central Jersey Group 4. The possibility there, one of several possibilities of an all-Shore championship game, is Colts Neck takes on Hamilton North in the other semifinal, so you could have a Colts Neck Brick game in a couple of weeks. We have not really touched on Thanksgiving at all. Some games will likely get moved depending on matchups. There are 15. We started with 24 teams last week from the Shore. There are 15 still very much alive in the hopes of state sectional championships. Guys, why don't we do this? We'll go out of order because we'll give ourselves we'll finish up with Joe Z. Why don't we get our football picks done now?
Okay.
And then if Kevin's not ready, we'll bring in the Z right away, and we'll go from there. All right.
Okay.
Matt, by the way, is starting to run away with this whole thing.
I kept pace. I had 6-1 last week.
Matt, yeah. Well, you and Matt and Scott were all 6-1. I was 5-2, but it's now Matt with 53-17. Four games up on Scott, five up on you and I, Ed, and that's a lot.
Yeah, don't we pick every game next week?
Thanksgiving Day.
Thanksgiving, right. Well, we definitely, if we have seven or eight teams in the finals, we should pick every one of them.
Would be seven games. We do seven games.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. It's the six-pack plus one. Brought to you by Bob Considine and Don Scherer's Allstate Agency at the corner of Lacey Road and Route 9 in Fork and River. Just because you're insured does not mean you are protected. Let's start with the game. We'll broadcast tomorrow night on 105.7 The Hawk, and that is in Brick where the Green Dragons take on Burlington. I will tell you both Scott and I are green and white on this one.
I also am green and white. I'll have a green T-shirt on. Underneath my heavy sweatshirt.
I did go back and forth with this one a little bit. I'm a little bit concerned for Brick because Burlington Township definitely can score a lot of points, but I will take Brick. I think the key for them will be controlling the clock and making sure they try and limit the touches for Burlington Township. They put up over 60 points during the course of this season in a regular season game.
I think what is probably one of the toughest games to handicap this weekend is Sayreville at Manalapan.
You picked Brick.
Yeah, we both picked Brick. Okay. Sayreville at Manalapan, you know, was that just a bump in the road for the Braves last week or not? And meantime, Sayreville has been coming on strong in recent weeks, and we heard the numbers, 16-0 against Shore Conference teams. Do they make it 17-0?
Well, I think they can. That scares me. 16-0 against Shore Conference team. Last one to beat them was Rick Memorial in the finals in 2008. I'm going to go with Sayreville in this one.
Matt?
I'll take Manalapan, Kevin.
Scott and I both went with Manalapan. Okay. I'm going on the, you know, sometimes when you win a championship, you look back to that one moment, and I'm thinking that that was the moment last weekend. So we'll see what happens. Here's an all-Shore matchup in Central Jersey Group 1. The Blue Devils of Shore struggled mightily last weekend.
10-7.
A 10-7 winner taking on an Asbury Park team they've already taken care of once this year. I like Shore.
Yeah, that was a close game, though, right?
It was a close game, yeah.
I'm going to go with Shore also. I think they'll beat them again.
I'll take Shore, Kevin. Always tough when you play a team for the second time, especially when you've got some athletes and some speed like Asbury Park. But I think the Blue Devils prevail and set up that all-Shore matchup in Central Jersey Group 1.
I like Shore as well. Scott and I both went there. Jackson versus Cherokee, the Chiefs and the Jaguars. I will tell you, both Scott and I on the Cherokee side of things.
Yeah, tough to play at Cherokee in that bowl in Medford there. I mean, they're tough. Best public school down there, right behind Holy Spirit. I'm going to go with the Cherokee Chiefs.
I'll take Cherokee in that game, too.
Well, we have to put it on there.
Red Bank Catholic.
Yeah, you got to put it on there. Red Bank Catholic against St. Joe's of Montville. I was the guy last year, by the way, picked St. Joe's. I remember that. Not a great prediction. I learned my lesson.
You mean RBC?
I mean, I picked RBC last year in this one. I learned my lesson. As much as I'm like the Caseys, I got to go with St. Joe's.
Me too.
Come on, I agree. Take a shot. Come on.
I got to go with St. Joe's.
All right.
I just don't. I'm going to say it's a game in the second half, though.
Stumper took St. Joe's as well. Shawnee visits Toms River South on Saturday afternoon. It's been a long time for the Indians. Do they get to a state final, Sarluka?
I've been on the bandwagon the whole year. I'm sticking with the Indians.
Yeah, I'll take Toms River South in that one, too. Would love to see him get into the final. They certainly have the talent to do some damage.
I like South. I think this is going to be a very close game. I think this is a game that gets decided in the final minutes, but at home I'll take the Indians. Scott went Toms River South as well. And the Big Red of Ocean hosting Hopewell Valley. Is it a red day for the Spartans?
It is, Kevin. They will be playing for a sectional championship that first weekend of December.
I'll go with the Big Red also.
All right, I do as
although
well.
Although that's not going to be easy. 8-1 Hopewell Valley team that we'll hear from Joe Z in a little bit.
So both Scott and I went Ocean. So the only thing at all in all of our picks was the difference was you took Sayreville against Manalapan, and the three of us went with the Braves.
Okay, I'll pick up one game at a time.
Yeah, that's a long way
make
to go.
My,
you got a long way
make
to go.
My run at the end.
Well, we're gonna welcome in a good friend and really happy to spend a little quality time with him for many, many years. He was really the main football guy, among other things, at the Asbury Park Press. He's now at the Times of Trenton. I know Ed speaks with him during the season, getting an update on the teams we used to look down upon, I guess, at one time, right, Joe?
Mercer.
Joe, when you were here at the Shore, right, didn't one of those Mercer County teams? You know, they go 8-0, they never win anything. But maybe times are changing a little bit, huh?
Well, their reputation for being patsies and pushovers was well-earned for a long time. The first column I wrote as the football writer for the Times, I wrote that the Shore Conference looks down upon them, and when we used to decide it was covering games, we pretty much decide if you were playing a Mercer County team, it was a bye. And but that has changed in the last 4 years, and it's been because of the West Jersey Football League. For 20, 25 years, Mercer County teams, it was inbreeding. They only played themselves. They knew each other so well, they could predict who was going to win what games before the year. So that's changed. The West Jersey Football League next year will have 66 teams. Hamilton comes in.
Wow.
And it has forced Mercer County to get with the times and work harder because of the influx of the Burlington County schools.
When you say 66 teams, how many different, obviously
counties,
a myriad of divisions,
yeah,
right?
That's from Mercer County, clean down to the Delaware Memorial Bridge.
Wow. Okay, Joe, before we get into some of the games, give me your top five teams in your area.
Our top five is Lawrence is one.
Lawrence.
Yes. Two is Hopewell Valley, and they play on Thanksgiving, by the way.
Those two.
Mm-hmm. Number three is Trenton. Had an outstanding year, comeback year under Tarig Holman. Number four is Nottingham, and our number five is North Burlington.
Okay, so all, four of the five Trenton knocked out last week. I know you were very high on them. Give me the one team that has the best shot of making it all the way.
I'm thinking Lawrence right now. I just think they're enormously balanced. They're very physical up front, and surprisingly, they play excellent defense.
That's Central Group 3. That is the bracket that Ocean is in.
That's correct.
Give us some players up there real quick look for.
At Hopewell Valley? The Hopewell Valley team, Ed, is their one loss is to Nottingham. They were down two touchdowns, scored two touchdowns in 6 minutes to tie it, and then lost on a 62-yard touchdown.
That's the team with the real big quarterback, right?
Yes.
Yeah. To give us his size and tell us who that is.
The Hopewell Valley quarterback, his name is Austin Fellows, 6'5", 235.
Wow.
Big arm, can run, can get on the edge, and really make great improvement this year. I mean, the big thing for Hopewell Valley this year has been their offense. They switched from a wing T to a multiple I. Their offensive coordinator is Todd Smith, who had incredible success at West Windsor South. Manalapan fans may remember West Windsor. In 2011, West Windsor South came within a yard of beating them and going to the sectional final. Todd Smith, in 8 years, has had the top two rushers all time in Mercer County history.
It's basically a pretty new program, right? 10-year program?
10-year program. Yes, it was their first time in the playoffs this year, first game, and they did a great job. They've just come a long way.
Is that a toss-up game, Hopewell Valley Ocean, in your mind?
I may be naive and maybe a little removed from the short conference because it's been a while, but what strikes me is, while Ocean's defense is tremendous with their shutouts and limited points, they don't score a lot.
No, they don't.
And I don't know that they have seen a team as balanced as Hopewell Valley. I mean, you're talking about a team with 1,300 yards rushing and 1,600 passing.
Yeah, pretty good. And physical.
And physical. Yeah. And they have played a good schedule.
Joe, you know, we've had the view here in the Shore, and as we kind of started with you, with what we always thought of teams in West Jersey. What is the view of the teams out there of the Shore Conference?
Oh, they're on a pedestal. I mean, you know, the Shore Conference, those teams are gods, you know, and they aspire to be like them. They seriously do. And what I'll say to you is this, the game you're doing tomorrow night, and you guys are all enamored out here now with Burlington Township because of what they did to Middletown South.
52 points.
Hopewell Valley, Lawrence, and Northern Burlington all beat them. All beat Burlington Township.
Wow.
And I'll give you another one. The West Windsor North team that almost upset Brick last week.
Three wins.
Right. Three wins. Northern Burlington beat them 42-6.
Wow. Yeah. So that's a good, it's a good football team.
You would pick Brick in that game based.
I would, because the common denominator of Lawrence and Hopewell Valley beating them was a physical, smash-mouth, in-your-face running style, which from what you guys have told me is what Brick does.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, they need to control the clock. They need to move the chains.
The other good team that I know you're high on is Nottingham. Of course, they won it last year in Group 3. They move up to Group 4. Looks like a school that is getting bigger as we progress through here.
By the way, by also referred to as Hamilton North.
Yes.
Right.
Some people might get confused.
It's listed in the paper sometimes as Hamilton North, and you're looking for Nottingham, you know?
It's Hamilton North everywhere but in Mercer County, and they're Nottingham. Nottingham is they have 38 seniors. I don't think the University of Alabama has 38 seniors. 38 seniors, 140 kids in the program.
Wow.
He has a dress list on Friday nights. They are not as good as they were last year. Last year, their back four actually was six deep, and they could take people out of – they eliminated the passing game. They can't do that this year. They've been bugged by injuries all year, guys. They lost their best player on the first play of the second game of the year against Trenton, and they have struggled ever since. They have not been at full strength all season long. I mean, they were to the point where they didn't hit in practice because somebody was getting hurt. Now, think about that. That shows how far that program comes. They're 7-2, and it's a down year for them.
Yeah.
They didn't live up to their own expectations. But they're the kind of team and where you're running on them, you're throwing on them, and you look up and they're still in the game. They're a team that hangs around and tries to win it. I think they're going to have their hands full of Coates' neck because of the running game. They're just not as physical up front as they were a year ago, but they're dangerous. Big play wide receiver, big play kickoff returner, big play defensive backs. So if they can get Colts neck in a couple of third and longs, send the blitz, maybe pick off a pass, make a big play, it might keep them in the game. But I think Colts neck is really on a roll.
Big time player, right? Saquon Hampton, right? Going to Rutgers, right?
Yes, an absolute shutdown corner. Hopewell Valley has a wide receiver named Mike Geis. He's number 7. And Saquon Hampton covered him the entire game. No catches, 2 targets the whole game.
Wow.
This kid Geis averages 27 yards a catch, and they couldn't get him the football.
Z, small school of, you know, Burlington City pulled the upset last week over South Hunter, and they'll take on Point Beach. Give that one a little bit of a preview for us.
Well, the head coach at Burlington City is Tony Sacca, a former Penn State quarterback,
yeah.
So Kevin and I are happy. They are a team that is quarterback-driven. They have a real stud, an athlete named Ryan Daniels. They set their tailback up really deep in the eye, and he runs back to meet him. He's good with ball fakes. I mean, you got to remember, Burlington City was losing 17-0 and came back and won the game against South Hundred. And I'll give you South Hundred's best player broke his collarbone and had to come out. But they're dangerous. Burlington City beat Florence, crushed Florence, as a matter of fact. So, but from what I'm seeing about Point Beach, I just think they seem to be able to stay together. And as long as they can keep the Daniels kid from turning the corner, I think they have a pretty good chance of winning that game.
Yeah, great coach at Point Beach, John Wagner, just knows what to do. How about Shore? Have you heard anything about Shore Asbury Park, anything like that?
Nothing, no, you know, I haven't heard anything about that, but, you know.
The other side of that bracket.
Yeah, the Cause has a knack for beating them, though, so I think
yeah.
He seems to do just enough. You know what I mean? And we're all. You know, as the fans were like, ooh, wow, they only won by, you know, a narrow score. I don't think you get any advancement points for winning pretty.
No
so.
Style points, right? Win in advance.
Right.
Win in advance.
Rumson seems to be the team down here that a lot of people think to have a good chance in Group 2. They Rawway, you hear anything about Rawway? Out of your area, I know. But
the guys in Central Jersey tell me that Rawway is just – very athletic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how great their schedule is, and Rumson seems so balanced, which is the thing about the teams coming out of the Trenton area. It's balanced.
I do know this. They lost a few players to modern day because some of those modern day transfers came from Rawway.
Yeah.
Well, the question in Central Jersey Group 2, now, and granted, it still mind boggles me how a school from Newark is in Central Jersey.
Wequaic, right?
Hey, Wequaic,
but,
yeah.
They're supposed to be unbelievable.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Yeah.
20. What have they given up? 20 points?
Yeah, 45-0 last week, 9-0 on the year. And like you said, up there in North Jersey. I mean, we used to play them when I was at Irvington. They're in Essex County.
Joe Zadalis from the Times for Trenton. Let me ask you this. The best player you saw there this year in the, you know, the areas you cover?
Two. I think the Lawrence quarterback, his name is Nick Falkenberg, is tremendous. Nice arm, smart player, coached all winter, worked with Scott Bruner, another Lawrence grad. He's had a huge year, and I think he's going to be the difference against Carteret tomorrow. Now, the other newspaper guys in Central Jersey say, you can't run on Carteret. Okay, but I think Nick can throw. And the other kid who's phenomenal is the tailback on Lawrence. He's a touchdown machine. I think his touchdown plays average like 28 yards. He can do it. catching, running, passing.
Is that Mitchell?
Semi Mitchell is his name. And Hopewell Valley, the Geist kid is a wonderfully exciting player. Last week, two tippy-toe catches in a corner against Ewing. And I mean, I think he's a guy who can stretch the Ocean defense a little bit. If they try and get him underneath a little, I think he can back some of those hard-charging linebackers out of the box. Again, I just think balance is such a big deal. I mean, and Hopewell Valley has a tailback who you look at him as a skinny kid, doesn't look like much, enormous lean. He's averaging 126 yards a game. You know, so.
We obviously had Steve Timko on earlier, and everyone is sort of keeping their eye on this vote on December 2nd. The expansion of the football playoffs to go to the public school champions. Just some of the scuttlebutt you pick up. What are your thoughts on what may happen?
Well, I'm absolutely dead set against it.
Personally, you are. Your
personal,
own opinion.
Absolutely. I don't see any need for it. I don't like the idea of starting football on Labor Day. You know, for as long as I've been involved in high school sports, the NJSIA hung its hat on the fact that they crowned more state champions than any other state. Well, now it's important to be like Pennsylvania and Texas. What I've heard is I had a discussion last Friday night with the president of the West Jersey Football League, and his words were, it will be resoundingly trounced. He did not know of any school within the 66 that will vote for it. He's a South Jersey guy. He said the Cape Atlantic and all of South Jersey is dead set against it. But interestingly, not opposed about the group playoff itself, but the proposal of how it's going to go. They don't seem to like that. My big thing is, and I talked to you guys about it for a minute, was in August, all we hear about is you can't have two-a-days, you can't hit every day, you got to go through hydration tests. That's all out the window in December. Because as far as I'm concerned, the NJSIAA is looking to make money. And I just think that's the wrong idea. And I listen to Steve. He's a classy guy. But you cannot convince me that it is not for money purposes.
Well, he was pretty emphatic on that, wouldn't you say?
I would.
Z, was always, it was great seeing you. And we appreciate all the input on the teams that really we don't know all that much about. And certainly for our game tomorrow night, we'll have a better idea what to expect. We're going to take a very, very quick break, and we're going to get Coach Cal on for a couple of minutes. So you're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on 105.7 The Hawk. Well, as the saying goes, better late than never. A little bit late tonight, and for a few minutes, we bring in the head coach of the Monmouth University Hawks, who will close out their season Saturday at home. It is senior day at Kessler Field. Duquesne comes a-calling. Looks like a good matchup on paper. Monmouth 6-5, Duquesne 6-4. The Hawks coming off a good win last week, a dramatic win last weekend at Bryant. He, of course, is Kevin Callahan. And, Coach, I know your theme a little bit, whether it's public or private, is 7-5 is a lot better than 6-6, right?
There's no doubt about it. I mean, you know, we've talked to our guys, you know, actually going back 3 weeks, and the theme was to finish the year with a winning record. 7-5 gives us a winning record. We talked to them about we had to win 5 before we had to win 6, and we had to win 6 before we had to win 7. We got number 6, and now it's time to go get number 7.
Coach, this is a Duquesne team that certainly is talented. You know, despite not being able to go to the playoffs, they are co-champs in the NEC. But it is a team that Monmouth in the series history has had pretty good success against. How come?
We have, Matt. And I think, you know, it goes back actually the first time we played them back in 2003 with Joe Senapal and that crew. They beat us in the ECAC Bowl 12-10 and what was a tremendous game, great defenses on both sides. And then we kind of strung along some victories there. And then in 2011, they beat us here at Kessler Field at home on a day that saw some incredible changes in weather with snow and rain and whatever. And, you know, then last year we went out and beat them at their place. And I think we're two teams that are very evenly matched. They have an outstanding defense. They're number 10 in the nation in FCS football and in total defense, and they have some great weapons on offense.
Coach, I'm not going to really talk X's and O's on this week, but I'm more or less interested in the tradition of the Hawks as far as the seniors are concerned? Is there anything special? Tomorrow will be the last practice that some of these guys are going to go through. Anything special you do for the seniors?
You know, Ed, we don't really do anything on the field. Most of the things that we do for our seniors take place at our year-end annual dinner. I have spoken to the seniors. I met with them after today's practice, and we just had a great conversation. And I think those are the guys that go into the locker room and talk to the younger players on the team and tell them how fast it goes and how quickly it evaporates. And, you know, they look, come in as freshmen and they don't know anybody. And before they know it, before they can blink, it's all over. And that's the message I want them to pass down to the younger guys in our program, to take advantage of every opportunity, to make the most of every day, to go out every day like it's going to be your last, because your last is going to come soon enough.
For you and your staff, of course, there's always a senior class. I think it's 16 or 18 young men will put on the uniform for the last time on Saturday. But it's always got to be something a little bit difficult for you and your coaches, because there are bonds you've built and players who maybe 4 years ago you never knew if they'd contribute, who did, you know, and things like that. So each class has its own, but I'm sure as you walk out to that field and maybe walk off that field Saturday afternoon at around 3 o'clock, there'll be moments that'll be a little bit difficult.
It will be very emotional, Kevin. And you look at these guys and they come to you and they're kids. They're 17 years old, they're 18-year-old, and they really don't have the maturity that they're leaving this program with. And when you see them go off the field tomorrow or take the field prior to the game on Saturday, you'll look at them and say, wow, look how far he came. And that doesn't matter whether they're an All-American for you, a four-year starter, or just somebody who's played a role throughout the last 4 years. They've all grown, they've all developed, and as coaches, our goal is to help them, when they come in our door as freshmen, to help them get to the destination that they have in mind for themselves 4 or 5 years later. And when I look at each one of these guys, I said, all right, did we help them reach that destination? And with this group of 16 that will be introduced on Saturday, I really believe that we've helped them get to that destination.
Saturday at noon, 12:05 kickoff at Kessler Field. Monmouth looking to close out a winning season, 6-5 now against 6-4 Duquesne. Should be a great afternoon. Looking forward to it, Coach. And then next Wednesday we'll do our show on Wednesday night. We can just recap for a couple minutes with you. Thank you so much. We'll see you on Saturday.
Sounds good, guys. Thank you very much.
All right, Coach Kevin Callahan. So, better late than never.
Matt, your take on this Monmouth season?
I think it's been a better year than most of us thought going.
Yeah, 7-5, like Kevin said, yeah, a whole lot better than 6-5.
I think 7-5. If you would have looked at what maybe some people thought it could have been,
yeah, absolutely.
I think 7-5 would be better. 7-5 will also probably lead into the discussion that it could have been 8-4.
Even better.
I think this is a pretty good football team. I remember talking to someone going into the Columbia game, their radio announcer doing something for their pregame show, and they said, all right, you've played a tough stretch in the first three. You beat Holy Cross last week. How many more teams do you think this game could win? And I honestly said, I think we could win all of them. Mm-hmm. A couple of blips on the radar, which could happen to any team, but – you know, at 7-5, I think the coaching staff, the players, and the program, they'd be able to hang their hat on that and be pretty proud of the year they've had.
Are they ready for the new conference next year?
Well, we'll see middle of October next year when the Big South starts. I think so. Yeah. I know they're excited about it for sure.
Yeah.
So that'll kind of just about wrap it up for us tonight. Now, of course, we have
Thanksgiving coming.
We have Brick and Burlington Township tomorrow night on the Hawk. We'll be on the air next week on Wednesday night, Thanksgiving Eve, for 1 hour, a 7 to 8 o'clock shortened version. And then, of course, what happens after that, who knows? But we'll certainly keep you along. Special thanks to our guests tonight, including Steve Timko and the guys from Modern Day. For Matt and Ed and Tom Tremblay here and Ray Malaspina back at the studios, have a good night, everyone. Thank you.